Okay, this is Tuesday morning, and we're going to Mark chapter 11. And with God's grace, we're going to get to see what Jesus instructed by his being himself. Amen? You'll notice that he's cleaned out the temple in verse 12, and they were in... Well, it's probably the best way to just give you the word. Verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. And I noticed this part because it's very important. Because it was not the season for figs. Amen? Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." He spoke, didn't he? And his disciples heard him say it. So it had to be out loud. That's an example to you and me. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches and those selling doves. He would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "It is written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' namely us. But you have made it a den of robbers." He didn't say God did. He said man has created this problem. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. And they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Teacher, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart." That's the clincher right there. The doubting in your heart. "But believes what he has said," or what he says, "will happen. It will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." So who's in the power seat?
We are.
Mm-hmm. He placed us in that power seat. He placed us with the authority to speak. My mother loved plants. She loved especially African violets. And when you walked into her room, even when she was with us 7 years, there was a whole section where she had plants. And periodically, she would say to me, "You know, that lazy plant right there, I am going to kick him out if he doesn't behave and blossom." And I'd say, "But Mom, you're supposed to speak nice." "I did already. And he's still not active. And if he doesn't behave and get some flowers, out he goes." A few days would go by, and all of a sudden you'd see these little spurts. You know what I mean? Well, we have one of those African violets left. That's been 7 years, Mom's gone. And Irene and I have several other plants that come from her aunt's, which is like 25 years old, and it blossoms. But I do speak to them. But the African violet just a few weeks ago, had lost all its blossoms. And I said, oh, I don't want it looking dreary for the whole fall, right? And I heard the Lord say, well, do your job. So I got up and I gave it a little bit of water and I said, and you, sir, you are demanded by God and by me to blossom again because, you know, it's time for you to look pretty. And sure enough, within a week and a half, it had a little shoot. And I didn't see it, but Irene saw it. She says, oh my God, I thought we were going to have a dead winter for that plant, but it's coming alive. It's got a great big blossom. And so it's a reminder of who you are. Mm-hmm. It's a reminder in your everyday life, what you speak has power. Mm-hmm. What you can speak to a tree mm-hmm. and command it to bear fruit in abundance, mm-hmm. it's going to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you have a garden, Peggy. Mm-hmm. Have you been praying over your garden?
I do.
Why?
Because I want it to blossom and grow mm-hmm. and develop.
Mm-hmm. And I've been in your garden. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Anyone else have a garden?
I spoke to my garden and it didn't do what I asked it to do this year. Uh-huh. I'm questioning why. Because in past it has.
Uh-huh.
It has. But this year it just didn't. And then at the end of the season last year, five plants that were absolutely thriving overnight died at the end of the season.
You better ask the Lord for why.
Yeah, I did. I don't really understand that.
He'll give you.
Bang. And they were blossoming and everything. Uh-huh. It just died almost instantly.
There's a possibility that there's some darkness trying to invade.
Yeah.
Anne? Well, I know you shake your head.
Yeah, I have a garden, but in the natural realm, I was away from it for quite a while during the middle of the summer, so I didn't get much water.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't speak to it at all.
Okay.
Anyone? I speak to my indoor plants.
Yes, my window seat, my dining room
I speak to
plants, and I do speak to them, and of course my grandchildren come up and we go to the root and we talk to them together.
Good, because you're planting seeds in them.
Yep.
Excellent. So, what I was praying about is to ask the Holy Spirit during this feast to have some fruit to your words. When it's time to speak, to have the courage to speak. Because sometimes we kind of, ain't gonna bother. You're so busy. But we shouldn't be that busy that we can't speak to the mountain of obstacles. Okay? I'm gonna share, if it's okay, about some of the comments you made to me, and I think you shared it a little bit, Mayor Ann, when you pointed out that there was some difficulty and you shouted to the mountain, Grace?
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Last night?
Oh, I don't know if it was last night.
Oh. I'm just
trying. This is a few weeks ago when you said to me that you shouted at something that it needed grace.
Okay. Well, in our office, we've definitely been shouting grace all around and at home. And the peace of God has come to rule and reign in the house.
Yeah.
And in the office, things have changed, so God is working.
Okay. But you had to speak.
Yes.
That's what I'm focusing on.
Okay.
The ability to get not only the press to do it, but then to activate. Because we're accustomed to, oh God, would you do this for me? Oh God, would you do that for me? Mm-hmm. But in reality, God is saying, I have given you what?
Come on, words, and to do it yourself, and the power, and the authority.
And to carry it out. Mm-hmm. Now, it should be fine-tuned if you have a doubt in your heart. Because there are times don't know if it's right to do. Go back to John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself. Mm-hmm. Am I doing this to please me? Am I doing this to bring glory to myself? That should give you a response on the inside. And if there's a press to go forward, by all means, do it. Okay? Because there are times that you're going to do things and there will be a check in your heart. Because your emotions play a field. What you see, what you hear, what you look at. And I know I've shared this before, because I had a flashback right now, when I was commissioned to go pray over Linda's husband, Chuck. And she had called, and he was in horrible, horrible experience. I mean, they had done the surgery, they couldn't close his body, they couldn't put his body parts back into his body because of the swelling. And I walked into that intensive care unit. And I mean, I've never seen a monster like my friend. I mean, he was so distorted. The lips were touching the end of his nose. His earlobes were like great big things. And it was like looking at a monster. And my emotions got the best of me. Okay? And I took my bottle of oil and I said, "Lord, what do you want?" And he said, "Anoint him." And of course, they're watching. I know they're watching. But I said, "Hey, okay, God." So I anointed his forehead. Then I anointed his hands. And I anointed both feet. Now, does God know about our emotions?
Of course.
So I heard, as soon as I finished praying, because I prayed in the Spirit, I don't know what else to do. Okay? I'm in the Spirit. I'm not in my head. And I heard loud and clear, "Now trust my angels to do what you can't do. And leave." The soul part of me, the emotional part of me, was to weep and stay. Mm-hmm. The Lord had given me a word. Yep. It was the hardest thing for me to walk out of that room mm-hmm. and leave. Mm-hmm. And it happened more than once. It happened with my dad when he was very, very ill. And the doctor said he wouldn't live. "Go home. Trust my angels to do what you can't do." So could you lift your hands to him? Close your eyes. Say, "Holy Spirit, the doubts that come in, they come in by the emotions. They come in by reasoning. And I lift that up to you now. I'm asking for an adjustment by the Holy Ghost. That when I hear, that I will act quickly and not put myself on an emotional merry-go-round. That when I speak to a tree or speak to a plant and believe in my heart that it is so, my words will bear fruit. If it's a person that's ill, I will not focus on the problem, but to focus on the words of life that need to be spoken over that person, so that it will bear fruit. And I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because his angels are watching. And they're waiting and listening to the words that I speak. And they will bear fruit. In Jesus' name, I pray. Any additions?